الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون صدق الله العظيم. Alhamdulillah, we have heard this verse, or we normally hear this verse every Friday in the second khutbah, before the second khutbah terminates, and in the khutbah of the Eid. According to Mufassirin, this verse is the most comprehensive verse of the Holy Quran. It has condensed all the teachings of Islam and Sharia. There are three do's and three don'ts in this verse. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded us to do three things, and Allah has prohibited us from three things. Akhtam bin Sayfi radiallahu ta'ala an, before embracing Islam, when he heard about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he is in Makkah preaching a deen, a new deen, he desired to go and see for himself. But his people suggested that he should send somebody else instead of himself going, because he was the leader of his tribe and his people. So he sends two people, two emissaries go, and he tells them to ask just two questions. Man anta wa ma anta. Who are you and what are you preaching? What is your mission? These two people go to meet Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Man anta? He says, I am Muhammad bin Abdullah. Muhammad, the son of Abdullah. Simple, humble answer. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not discuss his entire lineage, which is so pure. This was his humility. Muhammad, the son of Abdullah. Wama anta? What are you doing? What are you calling towards? What is your mission? This is Abdullah wa Rasuluh. I am the servant of Allah and His Messenger. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recites to them the verse that I recited. Inna Allah ya'muru bil adli wal ihsan. Scholars have mentioned that these two people by heart, they memorized this verse. It was repeated to them several times till they learnt it. And they go back to Akhtam bin Sayfi, the leader, and they mention exactly what they heard from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He is Muhammad bin Abdullah, and he is the slave and the servant of Allah and his Rasul, his messenger. And then they narrated this verse to him. Akhtam bin Sayfi, when he hears this verse, then he says, indeed, one can understand that this person, he boasts morals of high value, and he forbids those things which are immoral and low. And he says, let us hasten towards embracing Islam, lest we become those who will become, who will be left and they will lag behind, and others will be the forerunners. Akhtam bin Sayfi radiallahu ta'ala goes and embraces Islam on account of this particular verse. Uthman bin Maz'un radiallahu ta'ala had accepted Islam, but he himself says only after he heard this verse being recited to him, then Iman was entrenched in his heart. A person like Walid bin Mughira was the ardent enemy of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In fact, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions about 10 verses in the Quran in Surah Qalam rebuking, taunting, humiliating Walid bin Mughira. Because he always opposed Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was harsh, he was rude, he was vulgar, he was abusive. But this Walid bin Mughira, strangely enough, when he hears this particular verse, he exclaims, unwittingly he says, إِنَّ لَهُ لَحَلَاوَةً. After listening to this verse of the Qur'an, he praises the Qur'an and he says, indeed this Qur'an has got some sweetness in it. وَإِنَّ عَلَيْهِ لَطَلَاوَةً. It has got some polish, some nur. Although he did not embrace Islam. Now you and I hear this verse every Friday, almost every Friday. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُ بِالْعَدْلِ. Verily Allah commands justice. Well, ihsan, and being kind. Doing good to people. Wa ita'i dhil qurba. And spending on one's close relatives. These are the three things Allah has asked us to carry out. Allah has commanded us with these things. Justice, and then being kind to people. Being altruistic and feeding and seeing to the needs of the close relatives. وَيَنْهَى عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ وَالْبَغْرِ. And Allah prohibits obscenity, lewdness, وَالْمُنْكَرِ, evil actions, وَالْبَغْرِ, zulm, oppression. It is mentioned in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a hadith Qudsi, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself says, إِنِّي حَرَّمْتُ ظُلْمَ عَلَىٰ نَفْسِي فَلَا تَظَالَمُ. I have made oppression, I have made zulm, haram upon myself. Allah is absolutely just. One of His beautiful names, Asma'ul Husna, is Al-Adl. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala judges in the best of ways, in the most accurate of ways, ahkamul hakimin. He does not oppress any person. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَظْلِمُ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ. Not even that amount which is equivalent to an atom. Allah is fair. And Allah says that I have made oppression haram upon myself. Therefore, O my servants, you too should not oppress one another. الظلم ظلمات يوم القيامة. Oppression will be darknesses on the day of Qiyamah. A person will be in difficulty on the day of Qiyamah because he oppressed people in this world. He will be in hardships, he will be in misery, he will be in suffering. He will be in utter darkness. On that day when a person requires light to see. Our Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Sahaba radiallahu anhu majma'een, they have shown us by the living examples how to deal with people justly. How one should not be oppressive. We see the despots today, the tyrant rulers, the past year, the zulm they have made, thousands and thousands of people, innocent lives have been taken. They have no fear for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How will a person then stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and account for all this massacre and all the killings? Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala, an incident we have heard many times before. When he had lost his armor, and suddenly he sees it by a Jew, a Yahud. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala claims that it is his. And this Jew denies. He says, Dir'i wa fi yadi. It is my armor, it is in my hand. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala, he is the Amir al-Mu'mineen. He is the leader of the believers. He is the Amir al-Mu'mineen at that time. He could have demanded it. He could have taken it away. But he knew the laws of justice and equity. He goes to Qadi Shurayh, who was the chief justice at the time. Qadi Shurayh asked the Yahudi, is that correct? He says, no. Dir'i wa fi yadi, it is my armor, it is my hand. And therefore, this indicates that I am the lawful owner of it. So Qadi Shurayh rightfully asked Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala an, he says, then you have to bring two witnesses to prove that it is yours. He said, I've got two witnesses. One is my servant, and the other is my son Hassan radiallahu ta'ala an. Qadi Shurayh says, your servant's witnessing on your behalf, it's okay, but not your son. This is not permissible. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu says, Hassan, the grandson of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I heard Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioning he is the Rihana, my Rihana of Jannah, that fragrance of Jannah. And you are not going to take his witnessing? Qadi Shurayh says, yes. Because this is not permissible in Islam. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu then retracts and he says, okay. This armor can be given to this Yahudi. In other words, I've lost the case. The moment this Yahudi sees the truth of Islam, the justice in Islam, and he knows he had usurped and he had wrongfully taken this armor of Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala, it did not belong to him, it belonged to Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala. But when he saw the justice of Islam, he embraced Islam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it is the battle of Badr, and we mentioned this incident many times here. He is putting the saf, the lines of the Sahaba correct, making sure they are standing straight in line, they are not jetting out. When he has a little branch or a twig, and there is a Sahabi by the name of Sawab bin Ghaziyah radiallahu ta'ala, who is jetting out of line, and Rasulullah sallam just prodded him to put him in line. This Sahabi turns around, فَأَقِدْنِي يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ, I want justice to be meted out. You hurt me, أَوْجَعْتَنِي. Sahaba looking, what is wrong with this Sawab bin Ghaziyah today? Battle of Badr taking place. Not a time for qiyasas, retribution and taking revenge now. And from whom? From Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And what pain could a branch and twig cause? Rasulullah says, no problem. Sawad says, but it's not fair still because I had no upper garment worn. You've got an upper garment, you must remove it. Rasulullah lifts his upper garment. Sawab bin Ghaziyah radiallahu ta'ala comes to take revenge. He comes forward, running to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he embraces the body of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He holds it tightly. And he tells, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I wish. He says, perhaps I will go in the battlefield and I will become a shaheed. It is my desire that the last thing in this world be that my body must touch your body before I leave this world. But the point is that Rasulullah was prepared to give him the justice. Nu'man bin Bashir radiallahu ta'ala an comes to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's a very long incident. Many riwayats have been mentioned. But the essence of that entire incident is that he has a plot of land which he wishes to give to his one of his sons. And he comes to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to make him a witness that he has given this particular plot of land to his one son. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam questions him. أَكُلَّ وَلِدٍ نَحَلْتَهُ? Have you given this plot of land like this to each one of your children? Well, first of all he asks him, you have other children besides your son who you want to give this land to? He says, yes. Have you given each one of them? He says, no. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam puts a logical question to him and he says, that do you wish that each one of your children, each child of yours, is good to you, loving, caring, just to you? He says, yes, why not? He says, then why are you oppressing the others by only giving one and depriving the others? He says, do not make me a witness on jawr, on zulam. Go back. Now this is the justice in Islam. A king has to be just with his army, with his citizens. He has to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala regarding their rights. He must not abuse their rights. And therefore a just ruler who has fulfilled the rights of his people, on the day of Qiyamah he gets shade. On that day when there's no other shade besides the shade of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imamun Adil. A citizen also, he has to be just when it comes to him fulfilling the rights of the ruler. Sometimes we begin to favor people. A judge favors people. He is biased. Sometimes a matter comes to a person and he has to arbitrate. He has to give a verdict. At that time he must fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he has to be impartial, he has to be fair. His love for one party must not draw him towards favoring that party. His hatred or enmity for another group must not be such that now he gives the verdict against them even though they are on the right. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala was sent as a qadi to Yemen by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for some time. He was very young. He says, Ya Rasulullah, I am so young. I don't know much about being a qadi. Rasulullah advises him and says that when you go there, then make sure you listen to both sides of the story. How often we listen to only one side of the story? We pass a verdict, a judgment, not even knowing the truth and the reality of the other party. Islam demands that you listen to both sides of the story before a judge passes a verdict, a judgment. An arbitrator, a judge, a ruler, any person who has got authority and he has to give a decision, when he hears the case, then he should not give that verdict if he is in a state of anger. Why? Because the judgment won't be fair. The laws of Islam, the laws of Sharia are so beautiful. Any law we take, you will see, it is full of justice. Islam teaches us to be just, to be fair. A man who has two wives, he has to ensure that he gives each one the fair right. There are many examples of our Akabirin. The manner in which they treated both their wives with such equality. Neighbors have rights. How often we make zulam upon our neighbors? We don't seek the permission. Sometimes late at night, we have visitors, we are making a rowdy noise. We are busy drilling holes, causing taklif. We have some function. It is late at night, somebody is very sick, there is an elderly person. These are all basic teachings of our deen. This is what Allah has commanded us. Al-adl, insaf, just be just. Be kind to people. When we deal with our customers, let us be honest and true to ourselves how often we cheat and deceive them. Don't we fear on the day of Qiyamah that all our good deeds will be taken away? Don't we fear that when we have no good deeds left, and still there'll be people who will be coming and demanding their rights on the day of Qiyamah from us, then their bad deeds will be then thrown over us? And finally, when a person has nothing besides bad deeds, he's engulfed with sayyi'at and bad deeds, he's got no good deeds left, then he's thrown headlong into the fire of Jahannam. What zulam we have made on the wives, what zulam wives have made on the husbands. We can go on. But let us understand that Islam commands us to be just. There was a woman from the Makhzumiya tribe. She was caught for stealing some possession. And we know the law of Sharia is that her hand must be chopped off. Her people, or she came from a very noble tribe. So they go to Usama bin Zayd radiallahu anhu, and they know his bond with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam loved Usama just as he loved Hassan and Hussein radiallahu anhum. He loved him very dearly, Usama, and also his father Zayd, who was the adopted son of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Usama takes up the courage, and he goes to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so that he may pardon this woman, and she may be sent free without her hands being amputated. What does Rasulullah say? The Sahaba say his face became red. He became angry. He says, "Oh Usama, atashfa'u fi haddin min hududillah? Atashfa'u fi haddin min hududillah?" When Allah has laid out an injunction, a penalty for a wrong, like theft, you seek to intercede on behalf of some person so that I may now grant her pardon and she may be forgiven, whereas Allah has commanded something else. He says, in the past nations, whenever a poor person did something wrong, whenever a poor person stole something, then they would mete out, give him his punishment. But whenever a sharif, a noble person, a rich, a wealthy person did something wrong, he stole something, people left him because of his wealth. Islam does not look at who is wealthy and who is poor. When there is justice, justice will prevail. Like this, there are so many other examples. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu. The scholars and ulama have mentioned, إِذَا ذُكِرَ عُمَرْ ذُكِرَ الْعَدْلِ وَإِذَا ذُكِرَ الْعَدْلِ ذُكِرَ عُمَرْ. Subhanallah. When you hear the name Umar, immediately you think of justice. When you talk about justice, you think of Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu. Roman emissary comes, is a convoy sent by the Roman king. They've got some work with Amir al-Mu'mineen. They did not know who is Amir al-Mu'mineen. When they come to Medina, they say, "We need to see the Amir of the believers, of the Mu'mineen. We need to see Umar." So somebody points out, indicates to them, to one of them, that go there under the tree, somebody lying down there. And that is our Amir. That is Umar ibn Khattab. This person goes, he finds Umar radiallahu ta'ala fast asleep under a tree. He says, he finds no bodyguards there. There's no security there. There's no army around him. The man is sleeping without any worry in the world that somebody may attack him. He's got no weapons around him. And then this person makes a remark, a statement which is etched in history, and he says, "Oh Umar, you ruled. You were just. Oh Umar, you ruled. You were just. Therefore you were safe, and hence you can sleep peacefully." Which president of the world can sleep peacefully without an army, without bodyguards and security? When there's oppression that takes place, then we find there'll be crime. There'll be mischief, there'll be corruption. Somebody writes to Umar bin Abdul Aziz rahmatullahi alayhi when he is the governor. One of his governors write to him. He says, "Inna madinatana qad kharibat. Our city has become impoverished, ruined, we've got no food." Perhaps Amir al-Mu'mineen, if you feel that you can just send some money, so that then we may restore ourselves and our town and our city. Umar bin Abdul Aziz rahmatullahi alayhi writes back, he replies and he says, قَدْ فَهِمْتُ كِتَابَكَ. I have understood your problem, I read your letter, I understood the contents of your letter. But the moment this letter of mine reaches you, then فَحَصِنْهَا بِالْعَدْلِ وَنَقِّهَا مِنَ الظُّلْمِ. Your Medina, your city, your town, if you want to strengthen it, and if you want to reinforce it, then you have to reinforce it, you have to strengthen it, you have to fortify it by means of justice. And remove zulam and oppression from its roads and streets. If there's zulam that will take place, then you won't find peace. Allah will withhold His barakat from the people. There'll be corruption taking place. Innocent people's lives will be taken. People will not be given the rightful due. Therefore, respected brothers and elders, time has already terminated. The ayat is a long ayat that requires much explanation. But we discussed justice. Inna Allahi amru bil adl. Verily Allah commands us to be just. Well, ihsan, and to be kind. Some scholars have mentioned slight difference in both. When they said justice also is part of ihsan, to be kind. But Allah wants to emphasize justice, and therefore Allah mentioned it separately. And justice is when you take your rightful due, and whatever is owing by you to somebody else, you owe somebody, then you have to make sure you give that person exactly what is due to him. And some ulama have mentioned ihsan is one step further, where when you have to pay somebody, you pay him. You're going to show extra kindness and favor to him. So you pay him in a nice way, you're not harsh and cruel to him. And if injustice is done to you, and even if you made some demands and nothing has been given to you, then you're prepared to forgive and forget them. Wa'ita idil qurba, and give your close relatives. Many times we are generous to many people and for many causes, but we forget our close relatives. We know the famous saying, charity begins at home. So whilst we may give, and we are encouraged to give to many different causes where there is a need, but we should never forget the close relatives living not far away from us, or in a poor condition, they're in dire states. وَيَنْهَى عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ وَالْبَغْءِ InshaAllah some other time. But والبغ is zulam, and it has already been discussed today. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prohibits us from being lewd, obscene, vulgar, shameless, indecent, immoral. And Allah prohibits us from all munkar, all the things that Sharia detests and abhors. والبغ, and we should not transgress the limits of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq and hidayat of understanding this ayat and bring into our lives. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.